And Brother Mosley, and we had the opportunity Monday night to go over to Worth Baptist Church and go to the Bible conference. And boy, it was tremendous. It was great. A couple of preachers who are, I guess, well-known across the country, Brother Johnny Pope and Brother Joe Arthur. I never heard Brother Arthur preach, but boy, he was tremendous. And so we enjoyed that. Of course, Brother Wiggins being in also helped, and I always enjoy hanging around Brother Wiggins. And I appreciate good, godly preacher friends that God has given me. Then we went last night, and it was Brother Joe Arthur preaching last night, and about a quarter way through it, of course, I got the call, and I had to head out for Brother Mosley. But I left Brother Wiggins and my oldest boy, my 16-year-old boy, I left him there. And Brother Wiggins said afterwards, he said, and this is a big thing, I mean, you're talking about a man like myself and Brother Wiggins, who've heard thousands of messages like some of you have, and he said it was one of the top one or two best messages he's ever heard. And I said, well, I want that DVD, amen. And so I told Brother Stone today, I said, make sure we get that DVD, I'd like to hear it. And so just a grand opportunity. But I was thinking about it as I got to the hospital with Brother Mosley, Miss Obenauer, and of course there was crying. But just to, as the doctor came in, just as I got there, the doctor had come in, and I got to hear the report of, and then just to see their faces, you know, how God gives that peace and comfort. It's amazing, isn't it? I think I said Sunday, I don't know how lost people do it. I really don't. And to see their saddened faces turn into happy smiles, I bowed my head and whispered, Lord, please do the same for me. And I'm glad He's always given victory. And I know He's done it in my life. I know He's done it in yours. Well, tonight we're in the book of Philippians. And as some of you hung around me a long time, know this is one of my favorite books. This is actually the first book of the Bible that I preached through as a pastor years ago. The first book I ever preached through back when I was pastoring in Nakona, you know, 17 years ago. And it's just a real special book to me. And probably as I'm pinning down what we're going to be preaching next year, this is probably one of the books we're going to cover next year too, at the end of the year. We have one book we're going to cover, which I'm not going to tell you what it's going to be. But we have one book we're going to cover on Sunday nights, the first of the year. And then towards the end of the year, we'll preach about seven or eight messages on the book of Philippians. And it's just a great, great book. And I think it's got such great life application. This is kind of one of those books where Paul deters from his normal outline. This is really not one of those books where he does, you know, preaches on or teaches on doctrine the first two chapters and then the practical in the last two. This is really, the whole book is really very practical. Very practical. And so he deals more with the practical, if you would, in the book of Philippians than he does doctrinal. And I think it's just kind of one of those books where Paul just hits it. You know, he just puts the pedal to the metal, says, hey, here it is. Here's what it is about. Here's what Christianity is about. Here's what your goals should be. Here's what the prize is. Here's how you're going to achieve the goal. And just a tremendous book. The theme, let me go ahead and give you the theme. The theme, of course, if you look at most commentaries, the theme is joy. But I'm with Brother Stewart. I believe as you look throughout the book, you'll see that the theme is joy, but it's selflessness that produces joy. You see this by way of example throughout this entire book. So I would tell you the theme is selflessness. Selflessness that produces joy. The word joy is found 17 times in the book of Philippians. As we know, we are born selfish by nature. We are selfish by nature. We are born sinners. A sin is selfishness. I don't have to go through all that, do I? I mean, we're pretty well there. Right? Sin in the Bible is defined as selfishness. We're selfish by nature. You don't have to teach a child how to be stingy and selfish. They are selfish by nature. You don't have to teach an adult how to be selfish. We are selfish by nature. And so in the book of Philippians, you basically have selfishness versus selflessness. I love that word. We could say unselfishness, but selflessness. Notice the middle word is what? Less. And that's what it's about. It's about thinking of ourselves less and less and less. Selflessness. Selflessness that produces joy. Others first. Others first, Lord. Others first. And it's about, again, thinking of others before ourselves. Let's look at just a couple of verses here. Look at chapter 2 and verse 5, and then we'll read. We'll pray. Let, again, this doesn't say make. It says let, allow, permit. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit give you the mind of Christ. Let it happen. You can't make it happen. You have to let it happen. Allow it to happen. Let's pray. Lord, bless this time. Bless the reading of Your Word. We pray tonight that You would help us as we reach for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, that You will continue sanctifying us, bringing us closer and closer to the image of Jesus Christ. God, help us to be the Christians, to be Christ-like, to be the Christians You want us to be, and that You have encouraged us to be, and that You've challenged us to be, that You've commanded us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. We are born self-centered. We are born egocentric. And that's our natural state. Our natural state. And it's more than just others. If I could tell you that tonight, it's more than just looking out for others, doing for others. It's being Christ-centered or Christocentric. That's more precise. That's precisely what God wants us to be. He wants us to be Christocentric. He wants us to be like His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what a Christian is. Someone who follows Christ's example. Christians. One who is like Christ. Amen? Christocentric. The world is egocentric. Self-centered. Again, we are to be Christ-centered. Christocentric. The Bible is Christocentric. The entire theme of the Bible is the Lamb of God. It's about Jesus Christ. And Philippians is, again, Paul's encouraging us in the book of Philippians to be like Jesus Christ. This book is wonderful in that it just pretty well puts it down there on the shelf where we can all get to it. And Paul just says, listen, let the Holy Spirit, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. We need to understand that inward joy is manifest to us by way of Christ. Inward joy through manifesting Christ. In other words, we experience joy when we manifest Christ. When we show forth Christ in our life. We experience joy. We experience joy. John chapter 15, if you would. The Gospel of John chapter 15. That's what it should sound like. I'm just trying to be a blessing. John chapter 15. Familiar passage for most of us. You know, I am the vine, you are the branches. Who are the branches? Christians, saved people. We're the branches. John chapter 15 and verse 11, the Bible says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Notice again here, it's inward. It says, these things have I spoken to you that my joy might remain what? In you. And that your joy might be what? Full. I am the vine, ye are the branches. If you abide in me and I in you, y'all remember the verses? We don't have to go read the whole thing. But when we abide in Jesus, when we abide in Him, we experience inward joy. And we experience fullness. Fullness of joy. That your joy might be full. How? By abiding in Him. We are the branches. If you take the analogy, the Holy Spirit is the sap. And as we are plugged into the vine, we receive the Holy Spirit who gives us joy. But as we abide in Him, He said, these things I've spoken to you. I've given you this. I've given you this understanding, this analogy, that you understand that you might have joy. Again, in you. Fullness of joy in you. All right? Joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. And that joy we have, again, is by abiding in the vine. I am the vine, ye are the branches. What is the fruit? The fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. That's what we produce as Christians, is fruit. The fruit of character. The fruit of character. Not necessarily talking about soul winning there, because soul winning, those who get saved would be, they wouldn't be fruit, they'd be branches. Right? You take the analogy, the first meaning of the Scriptures there. But we ought to abide in Him. We ought to abide in Him. I am the vine, ye are the branches. You might have joy. The book of Philippians, again, is about inward joy through showing forth Christ. As we live a selfless life, we will experience joy. As we live a Christ-centered life, we will experience joy. Philippians has been called the psychology book of the Bible. The psychology book of the Bible. Again, we read the verse, let this mind, Philippians 2:5. Let this mind, the word mind is found five times in the book of Philippians. Again, Philippians has been called the book of psychology, the psychology book of the Bible. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Can I tell you tonight that the book of Philippians is a study of the mind of Christ? You ever wonder what Christ is thinking? Philippians tells you. Philippians tells you. Let this mind be in you. Our mindset should be the mindset of Jesus Christ. The word set means, it's like setting up concrete when you pour concrete. Set. The mindset we should have is the mindset of Christ. Our emotional, relational, psychological problems, many of them stem from selfishness. I won't say many, I say all. There are some psychological problems that are inherited. Right? But many psychological problems, emotional problems, relational problems are caused by selfishness. Hello? Everybody, you ever have anybody drive you crazy? Right? Hey, amen? I know we're laughing, but seriously. Just selfishness. Selfishness. Sometimes on our part, sometimes on the person, on the part of the person driving us crazy. Maybe it's a kid, you know, 16-year-old. You say, okay, if this is a study of the mind of Christ is selflessness, doing for others, servants. I mean, you look there at chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ. Notice in many other of his epistles, he starts out, Paul the apostle. Notice he doesn't do that here. He says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are Philippi with the bishops and deacons, he is emphasizing servanthood, that we ought to be servants to those around us. In chapter 2, he says, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own and not Jesus Christ. What did he say? He said, all are selfish. And then he regards Timothy as a selfless pastor, a selfless preacher. He said, I'm going to send Timothy unto you. All seek their own. Servanthood. Servanthood. Having that mind of Christ. Our desire as Christians should be, our goal as Christians should be to be like Christ. When we talk about the potter and the clay, what is he molding us into? The image of Jesus Christ. Romans 8:29, that we might be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Hello? Amen, right? Paul basically hammers this over and over and over again. Christ our life. Christ our mind. Christ our goal. Christ our strength. That's the four chapters. The outline of the four chapters. Christ is everything. Christ is our all. Our goal, our desire as Christians is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Others. Doing for others. He says, he says, look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Of course, that kind of sounds like, man, I wish I had a truck like that, or I wish I had a... No, he's saying, look out for others around you. Look out for their needs. Don't be so wrapped up in your own needs. Our goal. You say, preacher, that's a pie in the sky. Nobody can be like Christ. The Bible says we are to follow in His steps. Remember that? I preached that message a couple of years ago. And I preached it a couple of times somewhere else too. In His steps. We're to follow in His steps. We're to walk in His steps. Well, that's impossible, preacher. Yeah. It's impossible to do it perfectly. Hello? But we're commanded to do it. Right? And we're never commanded to do something that He won't give us the ability to do. Amen. So our goal is to follow Him. To be like Jesus Christ. You say, well, preacher, you know, I just can't do it. Yes. You can't do it. But Christ can do it through you. Holy Spirit can do it through you. And again, we'll never do it perfectly. Listening, Brother Stewart gave the illustration about this. He talks about a little boy who was taking his air rifle, you know, like a little pellet gun, and a man was observing this little boy shooting his pellet gun towards the moon at night. He was poof, 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 shooting the moon. The man came up to the boy and said, "Boy, don't you know you'll never hit it? You'll never hit the moon." Little boy told the, you know, you've heard this before. Little boy told the man, he said, "Well, at least I'm getting closer than you are." You know what? If you never shoot at it, you'll never hit it. If you never have a goal, you'll never hit the goal. Amen? And Paul says, I press toward the mark. What mark is that? To be like Jesus Christ. That's our goal. And we should be pressing towards it. Yeah, we will never hit it until we're glorified one day when the rapture takes place and we're called out of here. And we receive that new body. We see that glorified body. Amen. The old nature is taken away. Amen. Our goal, to be like Jesus Christ, the ideal Christian is one who is like Christ. That's Paul's emphasis in the book of Philippians. We see here a challenge, the resurrection power of Christ that enables the believer to live for others and experience true inward joy. You understand, according to the Bible, you can't experience true joy until you're saved. Just like you can't experience real love until you're saved. That inward joy, by that we mean contentment, having a sense of well-being, that comes from the Lord. That inward joy, that joy of the Lord, it comes from the Lord. When we talk of joy, we're not talking like joy like I had today. Our kids on their birthday get to pick wherever they want to go for lunch within reason. Like daddy gets to go to Papa Do's on his birthday. Kids do not get to go to Papa Do's on their birthday unless they want to pay for it. But we went to Chili's. That's what Caleb chose. And at the end, of course, Chili's gives out a free dessert for your birthday, right? Man, you ought to jump on that, right? Amen. And they make the best dessert of any restaurant I've ever seen in my life. It's called a chocolate molten. It's a cake with ice cream on top. What we're fixing to have here in a minute. Again. But it's kind of gooey. I don't know. It's really, really good. You know what? When I was eating that today, or sharing that with my 16-year-old boy, I'm sorry, he shared it with me. I stood back. I let him have most of it. But boy, that was very joyful. I enjoyed it, eating that. It brought me joy for a moment. And then all of a sudden, it was gone. The 16-year-old boy inhaled it. It's like all of a sudden it's there, and then you go back to put your spoon back down, it's gone. Like, where'd it go? Like a vacuum cleaner. Yeah, they do that, don't they? Imagine having three of them in your house. Some of you may have experienced that. Amen. But that we're not talking about that kind of joy. We're talking about joy that's not determined by our circumstances. That's the inward joy. That's the joy of the Lord. Joy that's not determined by our circumstances. That's the joy we experience by way of the Holy Spirit. Paul gives us a challenge, an exhortation, and he gives us an example to have the mindset of Christ. That is, putting other spiritual welfare, listen to this, above our own physical, relational, and temporal comfort and conveniences. Let me read that again. We're talking about the mindset of Christ, that is, putting others' spiritual welfare above our own physical, relational, and temporal comfort and convenience. We're not saying that you should not have the necessities that you need to live. Amen? Paul said, again, whatever state I am there with, to be content. We understand in America that we have it great, don't we? I mean, I got to go to Chili's today, and I ate more, had the opportunity to eat more than, some others in some other countries maybe wouldn't eat for a whole week, much less eat what I ate. Hallelujah. It was good. I mean, I'm glad to be born in America. We have that freedom to do so. But to the extent a person who, let's say the person who has the ability to buy 15 cars. Let me just, I'll just throw it out, some number, okay? A man or a lady who has the financial ability to buy 15 cars, and there's two people in the house, what is he doing with the other 13 cars? Okay, we'll give him a work truck. What's he doing with the other 12 cars? And the person down the street from him is starving to death. Hello? It's looking out for the spiritual, physical, relational, temporal well-being of others. Again, not saying you shouldn't have nice things, that you shouldn't have good things. But we must be careful about in excess, right? Amen? Looking out for others. Caring about what others are going through, what others are experiencing. If you'll remember, Paul is in prison when he is writing the book of Philippians. He's in prison. Listen, Paul's in prison. And yet the entire book is about others. He's not whining about his condition. He's not worried about his condition. He's worried about them. In fact, the first chapter, he's worried that the position he's in will cause them concern. He said, listen, don't worry about me. He says, my bonds have led to people getting saved. My bonds have led to people hearing the gospel. Let's look back at Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. We read that. Look at verse 2. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Amen. What a prayer list, again, he must have had. For your fellowship in the gospel. Isn't it amazing that you can go to, have the opportunity to go to fellowship meetings in other parts of the state, go to a conference in California, and you meet other Christians, and automatically, it's like you, a long-lost relative, automatically. It's like meeting a brother or sister. Isn't that amazing? Our fellowship in the gospel. Our fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, that sanctification, that's being like Christ, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. There are two terms, just by a side note here, there are two terms used in the Bible a lot in the New Testament, day of the Lord and the day of Jesus Christ. When the Bible refers to, normally when it refers to the day of the Lord, it's referring from that time of the rapture all the way through the end of the millennial kingdom. When the Bible, most of the time in the New Testament, when it refers to the day of Jesus Christ, it's referring to the rapture. Okay, it's going to do it twice here. So you might want to mark that in your Bible just by way of definition. All right, so God is going to perform it. Christ is going to perform it until He returns. This is the sanctification process that we go through. Salvation is instantaneous. Sanctification is a process. Becoming more like Christ is a process. Look at verse 7. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. That great emotional experience that Christ brings, that we can empathize with others and see what they're going through. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, that's the rapture, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me, him being in bonds, him being in prison, have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. In other words, the gospel has been furthered by his imprisonment, by his bonds. He's just letting them know. He said, listen, don't worry about me. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. He said, listen, the gospel is spreading because of my bonds. The gospel is going forward in a greater way because of the predicament I'm in. Don't worry about me. Look down at verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. Christ should be magnified in our bodies. Christ should be magnified in our lives. Amen? Christ should be magnified. Just by way of application, when we put on clothes, we should say, you know what? Christ will be magnified by what I'm wearing? Hello, summertime, right? I mean, you know, if Christ was to walk up by me with what I'm wearing, would it offend him? I mean, is he glorified by my body, by what I'm wearing, by what I'm doing, and so forth? Look there again. Whether it be by life or by death, Paul said, it don't matter which way it goes. I just want to magnify God. Me and my wife, when we were praying about our children, when we found out that my wife was pregnant, each time we prayed, we didn't pray for a healthy baby. We prayed that the baby would glorify God, that he would be magnified. Amen? Healthy or not. Paul says, listen, by life or by death, I just want to see Christ magnified. Verse 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Oh man, what he could gain. What he could gain, the splendor of heaven, by dying. But for him to live is Christ. Why? Because he'd be doing it for others. He said, you know what? And he goes on to explain himself. He said, but if I live in the flesh, that is the fruit of my labor. Yet I will choose, I want not. For I am in a strait, verse 23, in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Isn't it? Amen? Far better to go to heaven. Not to put up with all the trash down here. Right? Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. For me to live is Christ. It's more needful for you that I stay here, that I might be able to teach and preach and go on about the ministry. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you in the furtherance of the gospel, so forth. So we see that Paul emphasizes and recognizes that Christ is his life. Christ is my life. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The purpose of the Christian life is to manifest Jesus Christ. To manifest Jesus Christ. And until the time he takes us on, from this life to the next, we should be living out his life. We should be living out his life. How do we do that? By caring for others. By the way, when we care for others, we'll have a happy life. When we care for others and do for others, we'll be living, and we're living for others and encouraging others. We can go to bed at night and feel and experience joy. Amen? It's the selfish person that lays their head down at night, who doesn't sleep comfortably, who doesn't experience joy. Amen? You want to lay down your head at night in peace? Live for others. Live the Christocentric life. A life that follows in His steps. Right? All of us. We'll finish this up next Wednesday. Christ, our life. Paul recognized and understood that Christ was his life. Christ is Christ your life tonight? Honestly, think about it. Are you living a Christ-like life? Is Christ glorified by your actions, by your body? You should always do what Christ would have done had he been in your place. You should only go where Christ would go. Hello? You should only look at what Christ would look at. You should only listen what Christ would listen to. Amen. Live a Christ-like life. You should look out for your neighbor. You should look out for your fellow Christian. You should teach them snotty-nosed kids in Sunday school, even though sometimes you don't like it. Right? Teach them young adults and them youth who are not faithful. It just gripes you. I was a youth pastor for a year and a half, and you never could get them youth. You can't be; they'll never be faithful. Of course, I've taught young adults like Brother Harry has. I taught young adults for years. Never can get them faithful. I'd much rather have Brother Clark's class or Brother Henderson's class. You guys are faithful most of the time. Brother Clark's having some issues. Yeah, I know that. Brother Henderson's is faithful. It just gripes you sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Pastor has a special meeting. You know, a third of the church shows up. You know what? It's all about Christ. It's all about Him. Doing for others. For me to live as Christ. Christ, my life. Is Christ your life tonight? Let's all stand. Have a verse of invitation.